Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for an opportunity to worship you this morning in a fellowship of other like-minded Christians. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw near to us and that you would draw us near to you. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin is a handout. On one side it says sermon notes. You can fill in the blank or take some additional notes if you would like to. As God speaks to you, I remember being out in the pew. The question was, how long will I remember what God says? And so I started writing notes down so that I could remember what it was that God was speaking to my heart on a Sunday morning. On the other side is a sheet. It's got weekly devotions, some instructions on how you can do some weekly devotions plus some scripture to look at. Boy, oh how Christmas can be such a moment of excitement, building up for many days leading up to that precious moment. Presents to open, food to be eaten, family and friends. And then it's New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve. Places to go, people to see, and a ball to drop down. All before we go to bed. And that's if you make it, or if you're able to stay up till midnight. But that was in the past, and now we face what I call the letdown. The letdown, another day with the change of one digit at the end of the year. The problems we left at school, at work, at home are still there. And those doggone resolutions. Some still have a chance for making it a few more days. Even weeks, maybe even months. Others, we've already cast them aside. What would you say is the number one resolution that most people make? Weight. Yes, I'm going to lose weight this year. Hallelujah. Stick with it. Let me encourage you. Yet I've got one that you might want to consider, a resolution of sorts that might make a difference, not in your appearance weight-wise, but maybe in your demeanor. How you approach life. And instead of enhancing your home, your job, or becoming more productive, what if you wanted to make your goal this year to find more joy? Find more joy. Find joy in this journey we call life. Not happiness. All right? I'm not talking happiness. You see, for many, happiness is based on how satisfied you feel with your own life and how much positive or negative emotion you're experiencing. You see, happiness is based on what you're experiencing, whether it's positive or negative. Often, happiness is based on how good my circumstances are around me. How good my circumstances are around me. As we go through life, we accumulate material goods, accumulate great vacations or really cool experiences. And those bring us to a point of happiness. Happiness, but it's not joy. It's not joy. Are you happy and you know it? Clap your hands. Just twice. Right? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Stomp your feet. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Joy. The joy, though, that we are to experience as Christians is this. I found this in a book. It is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit. Joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as He causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word, the Bible, and in the world around us. So we could say Christian joy is not based on circumstances. It's based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where we find our joy. And at the time when the Apostle Paul writes this letter of the Philippians to the church at Philippi, he says, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. He's not the pastor of some megachurch. He does not have any type of retirement plans or IRA or 401k or pension that he's living off of. He's in Rome under house arrest in chains that he must rent, which he cannot leave until he has his trial before Caesar. He's not in a great place. But it is where he finds himself. And you'll be surprised at the words that he speaks. Read the first part with me. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your... Well, now, I just told you he's in prison. He's in chains. He's under house arrest. And yet, I always pray with you for what? With what? Joy. Can you believe this? Paul is under house arrest in chains because some Jews along the way protested against him. Greeks were incensed at him. Each at moments attempting to silence him. And now he's imprisoned in this small house. And yet Paul has this ability to thank God. And the answer is yes. Despite his circumstances, he gives thanks to God. He has what I'll call an understanding of Job. An understanding of Job. You remember Job from the Old Testament? He loses everything, his land, his flocks, his livestock, all of his children. And this is what he has to say as a result. It says in Job, then he fell to the ground in worship after losing everything he had. And he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. What gives these two, Paul and Job, the ability to see life in these terms is that they see life as being bigger than themselves. You see, life is not all about them. Job sees that God gives and God takes away, but God is always to be praised, whether things are good or bad, whether my circumstances are woo or whether they're oh. He finds joy because he's got a relationship with God. Paul is in prison, and yet, instead of focusing on his circumstances, he focuses with joy in what God is doing in the life of the Philippian church. You see, what gives Paul joy is focusing on what God is doing in others. Focusing on what God is doing in others. Let's finish this thought of Paul. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, not only is he thinking of his circumstances, or he's not thinking of his circumstances, he's celebrating what the Philippians are doing with God. Do you ever do that with someone else? Do you ever talk to others about God? Or do you when you see them doing something for God, do you let them know that encourages you? Or that you're thankful to God that they are doing something in the name of Christ? That they are partnering in the gospel? Paul goes on to say he is grateful because they are partners in the gospel from their first days with God until now. You see, Paul is intentionally focusing on others' success with God and not on his own circumstances. Job chooses the same, to intentionally focus on God. How do you do in this arena? How do you do when circumstances aren't as great as you want them to be. And maybe you find yourself experiencing some downturn instead. Do you tend to focus on yourself? Because we can all become easily self-absorbed, can't we? That's where you nod, yes, Pastor. When we become self-absorbed, then we become unusable by God, which leads us to becoming a poor witness of the Christian life to others. That's the reality. This guy, he was known by some as the hitman, by others as the hatchet man. Charles Colson was special counsel to President Richard M. Nixon back in the late 60s, early 70s, and Nixon would give him jobs that nobody else would take, nobody else would do. Colson, who was a lawyer, had no room for God in his life, doing what might be considered the dirty work for Nixon. Some called him the idea man of the evil access of power in the White House at that time. And after leaving the White House in 72, a friend gave Colson the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, which helped Colson to see his need for Jesus and to turn to God, to turn his life around. But by that time, Watergate had already happened. And in 73, the Watergate crisis ramped up and Colson admitted to defaming another man. And he was in prison for that. But in prison, he began to study the Bible with other inmates, and after his release, he became a major force in seeking reform and or reforms to the prison system. Part of that reform, including Bible studies and other types of biblical education for those in prison. And because of his imprisonment, Chuck Colson began prison fellowship ministry, which helped create Bible study opportunities for inmates and still goes on today. In fact, it expanded to the point where a part of that was to buy presents or Christmas presents for children at the end of the year so that even though they had a parent in prison, they might receive some type of present for Christmas. Colson would go on to say, I can work for the Lord in or out of prison. And this would be the same attitude as the Apostle Paul. I can work for the Lord in or out of prison because the focus isn't on himself. He is intentional to focus on God and others. Could you say that in your life? I can work for the Lord in or out of good and bad circumstances. Could you say that with all gusto that it doesn't matter where you find yourself? I've heard it said by some here something to the effect, there's always someone else who's worse off than me, as a way of negotiating difficult moments in life in regard to getting down on themselves for a situation they might find themselves in. Instead, they would say, there's someone else somewhere who's worse off than I am. And this is a way of not dwelling on your bad circumstances, but I would encourage you to go the next step. I would encourage you to go the next step, which will help you to experience joy as opposed to not experiencing sorrow. Does that make sense? To experience joy instead of trying not to experience sorrow. And that is to focus on others and what you can be doing with and for God. This first section of the letter to the Philippians, Paul is not only thankful for the people in Philippi, but he is also in prayer for them. Isn't that cool? You can be in prayer for somebody else. He goes on to say, and this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So that. Again, despite his circumstances, he chooses to focus on praying for these people. When we pray for people, what do we pray for oftentimes? Healing? Wouldn't you say that's probably one of the number one things we lift someone up to the Lord because they are experiencing some difficulty, some sorrow in their life? We do that here on Sunday morning. We oftentimes lift up prayers for people, intercede for them because of some difficulty that they're in. But do you ever pray that they might grow in love? Do you ever pray for someone to grow in love? That their love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight in regard to the things of God? Do you ever pray that way for somebody? I do. I pray for you that way. Do you ever pray that prayer for yourself? That you might grow in love, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight in regard to the things of God? Do you ever pray that for yourself? Lord, help my love grow, my knowledge, my depth of insight expand. Why? So that? How can I expand my prayer to pray that others would grow in love and knowledge and insight of God? How would you do that? Read this with me. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. You see, this is a very intentional prayer. Paul is very intentional, asking God for love, for knowledge, for insight, so that what he does may be best, may be pure, may be blameless, or what the Philippians do may be best, may be pure, may be blameless for the day of Jesus Christ. This is not being good for goodness' sake. This is doing good for the glory of God. Many of us were brought up in homes with morals and it said, you know, love your neighbor as yourself or do unto others as they would do unto you. So if they hit you, hit them back, right? Or if they're going to hit you, hit them first. This is not about being good for goodness sake. This is doing good for the glory of God. This is being pure, being holy, that we might be good witnesses for Christ's love to others in the world around us. This is being blameless, living a life which avoids sin or disobedience to God. Living a life knowing that there will be a day of Christ, a day when Christ shall return, and we will be called to stand in front of Him and give an accounting of our lives. Do you live your life intentionally? Live lives where you order your time? Where you order your life, time to grow? You order your time to grow in the knowledge of God? Time to grow in your depth of insight? In your love of God? So that as we live out our lives, they would be free from sin. Or as Paul states, be pure and blameless. Would we intentionally live lives of righteousness because we're seeking Jesus to know, to love, to serve Him, to the glory and praise of God, not just so that you would become a better Christian? Do you do all things for the glory of God? Because we have to note, if you don't intentionally order your life for God, if you don't intentionally order your life for God, then how can you live your life to the glory and praise of God? There's your resolution. Like Paul, be intentional. Be intentional in how you live your life. You see, Paul's chief concern is that the gospel, that is the good news of Jesus Christ, you remember Jesus? He lived a life as an example for us. He died for our sin that we might live in freedom from sin. His resurrection from the dead, showing that God has power over death itself and that there is something after life that exists for us, something yet to experience. You see, Paul's chief concern is that the gospel would be advanced so that others might live. It doesn't matter to him that he's in chains because he finds himself rejoicing in Christ and rejoicing that Christ is being preached. You see, I want to grow in knowledge of God, so I study my Bible. I want to grow in the purity of my life so that I might be blameless before others. I want to live a righteous life, that the gospel of God would be advanced, not just for my standing before God, but so that by my example others might know the love of Jesus Christ. And it takes one thing. It takes being intentional to do these things. When I think about avoiding the emotional downers in life, I find that when I focus on Christ, I have a lot to rejoice in. I really do. Friends, we will find joy when we intentionally focus on knowing and growing in Christ this year. My challenge is to create a prayer list. To create a prayer list for others, not just for healing, not that kind of prayer list. But a prayer list that would say, God, help this person to live for Christ. Help this person to grow in the love and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they might live a pure and blameless life. And to pray for their salvation, for those who don't know Christ yet, or for those who are flittering around the edges of knowing Christ. Pray for them. Add that to your prayer list. I would just say, put a piece of paper in your Bible. Prayer list. For what? For the salvation of other people. So that they might know Jesus Christ. So that they might live a pure and blameless life. So that they might experience salvation. Become more active in knowing Christ and sharing Christ with others yourself. And as you do that, that prayer list is going to grow. And I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the year, you've got two sides of that paper filled up, writing in that really infinitesimal small font because you're running out of room. Because God is doing cool things in and through you. Intentional. Intentional. The God who has helped Paul in the past is the same God that will help you now in the future to live a life pure and blameless before God, to experience joy despite your circumstances, not happiness, joy. Don't you want that? Yes, Pastor, we want that. Let us pray. Oh God, you have loved us and have cared for us. And now we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to also be that for other people, to focus on others, to love them, to care for them, to rejoice in what you're doing in their lives, which means we need to be more intentional about looking for what you're doing in other people's life and to encourage them in their growth with you. As we pray, others would encourage us in our growth with you. Lord, may you be glorified in whatever resolution we put forward as it deals with you. Help us, Lord, of all things, to be intentional. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,